Hello, and welcome back to another Co-op the Cast. This is episode number 99.
That's
and
right.
It's, what's Wednesday, January the 2nd, 2013. It's a new year.
We're not dead.
It's the same old...
It's the future.
We're not dead.
We're not dead. Praise the sun.
Praise Quetzalcoatl. So.
And we just got done playing a little bit of Monaco together for a little special thing. So you'll have to keep a lookout for that. But we're going to talk about some other things we've been playing.
Because we mean to never play it together again.
Well, we're not going to
play
you
with
next
one
time,
of us. I know that for sure.
But let's talk about what we've been playing. And let's start with Mike. Because yep. I know Mike finally picked up one of my favorite games of the
Dark
year.
Dark Souls.
No, definitely not that.
It's true. I have been playing that too.
Yeah. I'm talking about XCOM.
Oh, XCOM.
What do you think, Mike?
Oh, man.
Pretty good.
You
huh?
said you wanted to keep this podcast short. I could talk about XCOM for a couple hours. XCOM.
Let's talk about percentages.
Yeah.
XCOM is a game that makes 70% look like a bad decision.
Not an IGN review score.
No. Yeah, I have a sniper who can't hit shit. You know, he has about 85% chance to, you know, take a nice hit against a dude, and it always misses. Always. Yeah,
misses 50% of the time.
Yeah, so XCOM is a revival of the classic strategy series, and it is probably the most glorious strategy game I've played in a number of years.
When did dice rolls become so sexy? Like Firaxis,
they were
did
never
it, right?
not sexy. Locke.
They were always sexy, Locke.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, they were never not sexy. You just didn't know,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. This made it sexy for me.
So, you know, you're fighting alien. It's XCOM. You're a secret organization combating the alien menace that's attacking Earth.
Oh, so Men in Black.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But
we're not hosting an intergalactic kicker down here.
Let me tell you something. Strategy is great. It's a great revival of classic series. You know what the best thing about that game is? The
no
nicknames
co-op.
That your soldiers get as they level up.
And their hair color.
Yeah.
That is the best thing ever. And I gotta say, I have a heavy, and he got the nickname Diesel.
Yeah, he did.
So I renamed that guy Shaquille O'Neal.
What?
Yeah. So I have a heavy named Shaquille O'Neal running around my squad, and he can't hit anything because 70% always misses, and when your chance to hit is 50%, oh my goodness, I don't think he has killed anything in 5 missions.
But you know what?
But he sure knows how to shoot that rocket launcher.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to play through the whole game, and Diesel is going to struggle, and he's going to miss, and his rocket launcher is going to shoot his buddy. And then on that last mission, he's going to toss one grenade that explodes the whole mothership and just win the whole thing. And it's going to be a beautiful
that's right.
thing. And you're going to say,
provided
he doesn't
get killed first.
That's why you're
And
here.
He's going to say his catchphrase, 3 points.
He's going to say Shazam is what he's going to say. Wait, no, it's Kazam. I'm sorry, I screwed that up. So like games
That's
like
terrible.
Far Cry 3
That's
with
terrible.
All the emergent stuff that comes along with it. Far Cry or not not Far Cry, but XCOM is a game that is each time you go out on a mission, that is a story you're going to be able to tell your buddies around the water cooler. My actually my boss at work picked it up on the Steam sale as well, and we both spent our morning break just like chatting about XCOM, and it was
war stories. That's awesome.
It was glorious. We had all kinds of stories. I can't remember the name of the alien that sticks you in the chest and turns you into a zombie. But
Sectopods or
there's something
yeah,
like
the,
so
about.
That guy, that freaking guy, I first ran into them on my very first terror mission.
Oh no.
Which are already pretty stressful. But those missions have a number of civilians littering the map. And the aliens are trying to kill the civilians. But when this dude kills someone, he turns them into a super zombie.
Yeah.
And they come and fuck you up. So this dude, this mission spawned, there were two of these guys in a room with 3 civilians. And they turned them all into zombies before I could get to them. And it was just the worst thing. I lost so many people. And
those guys are pretty brutal. No. But the red colored like grunt guys.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
The ones that you shoot and they become aggressive and then like the next turn they start to die to the ground.
Berserkers. Oh. Now Mike, what level are you playing at?
I'm just playing on normal.
Normal? And Iron Man on or off?
Off.
Off? Cool.
I'm not going to do an Iron Man run until I'm comfortable that I actually don't suck at this game.
Yeah, no, that's smart. Like, learn all the game systems, and then once you know that, you're going to fail
I don't,
at 90%. So.
And for those who have not played the game, Iron Man is?
Iron Man gives you one save slot to use the entire time, and it auto-saves, so you can't just... Like, what I do now is right before I take a mission, I save my game. And if I start losing, like, half my squad during the mission, I just start over.
Yeah.
Iron Man makes it so that if you take on a mission, if you try and revert a save, you go back to, like, two turns ago. And at best. So it's pretty hardcore. And, that game is amazing. It's so good. I only played like 5 or 6 hours of it. I could try talk about it for a month. it is. If you
how about
have
you talk
not
about
played
something
it,
else you've been playing?
Was that?
I said, how about you talk about something else you've been playing instead of one game for a month?
Oh, geez, I've been playing Dark Souls. Praise the sun and engage in jolly cooperation. I actually had an aborted co-op date with Andrew. But I am about to take on the Bell Gargoyle in the beginning, and
I've got news for you all. I just got my PC copy.
Touchdown.
It's time to do it all over again.
Oh, man.
So,
yeah,
what's your feeling? I want to know, because you've been out and in and out, and sounds like my Friday.
So...
Heyo.
Dark Souls is a game where when it clicks with me, it clicks hard. And
just like Locke's Friday.
Yeah. No. So right now, like I said, I was on my way to the Bell Gargoyle in the Undead Parish. And the interesting thing is, I didn't die until I got to the Undead Parish, because I've played Dark Souls before, and I've gotten a little further than I did now, so I remembered how to do everything. But it's interesting, because now that I kind of know what I'm doing, I also kind of know that, say, if you really want a really absurdly powerful weapon, you go kill the merchant in the Undead Burg, and you get a wicked katana with crazy bleed damage, and it makes everything really easy to kill.
And that's a perfectly viable strategy for that level, which is awesome.
There's a lot of stuff like that, and I really want to press through it. The problem is, I want to play co-op and really check that out, because I played a lot of Demon Souls, and the part I got to in Dark Souls before is probably not even a quarter of the way through the game. I killed the Capra demon.
Okay.
And that's where the last time I played Dark Souls, that's where I left off. So I'm, you know, I have to kill the Bell Gargoyle, and then I think there's one more boss, and then the Capra Demon, and I'll be back to where I was. But now I'm way better prepared, because I actually didn't build a character that sucks. And, that game is, for me, it's not the all game like it is for Locke and Andrew, but it's a game that I can binge on when I'm really in the mood for it. And I don't think it's a PS2 game like some people here. it's a game that demands you play it on its terms, and if you're not willing to do that, you're going to hate it. And that's the only way I can review it.
With that being said, Nick, what have you learned about Dark Souls?
Do you really want me to go into it now?
Yes.
I cannot honestly find a redeeming thing about it. I've played about 4 or 5 hours, and I have not gotten any enjoyment out of it. Other than a really cool looking crow at one point. I was like, wow, that's really neat looking. It's giant and big.
And then
but,
skeletons.
I don't know. The controls are just really laggy feeling. The animations are horrible. The there's no, like, direction of, like, what is anything. I don't know. And apparently I hit a glitch at the tutorial boss where every time I fell down on top of it, my character wouldn't animate properly, so he slid off and then immediately got smashed.
That's the worst.
So there was that frustration factor. And then, of course, you know, after 5 times of that in a row and shutting it off, I came back the next day and got it the first try.
Beautiful.
But after, like, I haven't found the game to be difficult at all. It's just, like, it's frustrating for the sake of being frustrating, like, things. Like, tiny ledges to walk across and then you fall off because the guy doesn't move quite the right way he's supposed to, or and stuff like that. Like, it's just, or, like, guys that infinitely throw firebombs at an area you're supposed to walk through.
You run through it.
It's just, I don't know.
You run through, there's the guys at the room, in the room on the other side, you run in, then you dodge back out, so you avoid the guy that tries to cleave you, and then you run straight back across the bridge.
How is that not obvious, Nick?
Yes. It's not, it's, no.
You have to engage the game with its own rules. If you try and play it like any other game, you are not going to get anywhere.
You know what else has rules? Driving a car. Driving a car is not very fun at 30 miles an hour. And that's what I feel like it's doing. It's work. It's not a game. I seriously, like, I have no idea what I'm doing. That's the biggest thing. No idea. Like, no idea where I was supposed
to
go.
And it doesn't go out of its way to tell you. It feels that you are smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah, so I'm stupid.
What's a shame,
is
that you're so close to the co-op part.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even know. Like,
co-op.
And
I see, like, little ghosty things coming around all the time and things like that.
Those are the other players playing it at the same time as you, but you can't interact with them until later.
I don't know.
You get your white soapstone marker, and then you wait for someone to summon you, and then some asshole comes in and kills you while you're waiting to be summoned. That is Dark Souls.
Look,
and that
I've
is
got 88
fun,
hours of Halo
it.
4 to catch up on.
You'll enjoy it if we.
Yeah.
And I present to you a podcat.
Yeah. How's Borderlands?
So, alright, Mike, I might as well go into what I've been playing other than Dark Souls, unless you have anything else you want.
I have also really been playing a lot of PC Borderlands and Dishonored.
Sweet.
And Dishonored is a way better game on the PC than it was on the console.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Because the load times are instantaneous and you have a quick save button.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
So I've been playing Dark Souls, trying to understand what the big deal is from Locke and Andrew, and I don't think I'll be playing Dark Souls anymore. I've had a lot of time to play games, so I've been hitting the backlog. I finished Lord of the Rings War in the North, which was, that's a damn good game. I really like the combat system in it.
See, I played it, and nothing clicked for me. It was really, kind of stale. Nothing felt right.
It definitely, if I remember correctly, it was very slow going. Like,
I could see that.
But once you get, like, some of the better abilities and you can use it in the combos and you start lopping off limbs and stuff everywhere.
I guess I also played as the ranger, so I don't know if that.
Yeah, I was the dwarf most of the time.
And I have it on PC. I can give it another shot, but I don't know. I really friggin' love Lord of the Rings, and I just could not get into it.
You could.
What's kind of cool is there's a lot of characters from. There's a lot of crossover between stuff. Like, Radagast is actually a pretty big character later on in the game, which he was in The Hobbit, the movie there, and it's its own version of it, but it's just kind of cool that some of the things that were brought up in The Hobbit actually are touched on in War in the North a bit, so. What else? FTL, been playing a bit of that.
Oh, that game's great.
How far did you get, Nick?
In what, FTL? Yeah. I still have not beat a thing. I finally bumped it back to easy. I've been trying on normal, and I've gotten to, like, the...
I can't get past Sector 5.
Yeah, like, I think it was, like, it's, like, the first one you get an achievement for getting past. I would get past that pretty consistently, and then I would
right.
I would bomb. So I bumped it back to easy, but I play that in like 15, 20 minute stints. And I can't I don't play for too long.
So when's that on the iPad?
I don't know, but that's definitely an iPad game.
I'm waiting for him to put freaking Legend of Grimrock on the iPad. That would be a perfect game.
Yeah. What else have I played? I hooked up my iPad, speaking of that, to my little, what is it
called?
Your
iCade thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been playing Raiden Legacy on there.
How's it work?
It's pretty cool. It works great. I mean, it's definitely, you know, the screen actually, you know, fits that style of game really well, so nice. It's got the good arcade feel.
How does the, how wide is the support for that iCade?
How wide?
Well, like how many games?
It's a Bluetooth. It's a standard Bluetooth controller. So I guess if the game supports a Bluetooth controller, it supports it. That's all it is. I mean, I didn't even see anything for Raiden, and it seemed to work fine out of the box. But yeah, I didn't. And I guess it comes with like the Atari Classics thing, so all those games work. But I haven't. The only reason I picked it up, it was cheap one day at Kohl's. It was like $40 or something, and it's normally like $100. So
nice.
I'd pick it up for $40.
Yeah, so anyway, other than that, XCOM, SSX, which is pretty decent, except for the annoying survival missions.
Those.
But thankfully,
those really
you know, if you have
me
to
play that game, actually.
But here's the thing that doesn't. It's like there's an option if you fail it three times, you can skip it without a penalty. It's like if you have to put that in the game, you know this is a
something
stupid
is
idea.
Wrong.
Yeah.
And people are frustrated with it. Just cut it.
Well,
like,
it's the thing about those that really pissed me off is that those missions, those levels are not why I play SSX.
Exactly.
Like, I play SSX to do like really stupid, insane tricks on an improbably large mountain and grind rails through a nuclear power plant in the Himalayas.
Well, it's not tricky.
Basically, they become an exercise in memory.
Yeah.
Like, you have to memorize the correct path through the course. It was annoying, so. But most of my gaming time has just been Halo 4. I've been playing ridiculous amounts of the competitive multiplayer, as well as going through the campaign and co-op with some folks.
Nice.
And
have you done your solo legendary run yet?
I think I'm getting ready to do that. That's next. I went and
I need
up
to finish.
Like
I need to finish my first run through the campaign.
Shame on you.
I looked at Raptor. I'm up to 90 hours in Halo 4. It's just ridiculous.
That's good though. It's a good game. It's good.
There's the Infinity Challenge thing going on right now, which is like some big contest. So I've been playing. There's a special playlist for that, and I've been playing those game modes mostly. Nice. Jason, what about you? What have you been playing?
So mainly been having a lot of time with my 3DS lately. So I've been playing 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 doors, which is a visual adventure novel.
Visual novel.
Adventure, though. I mean, like, it solved puzzles and stuff like that with it. It's kind of like a cleaner version of Saw. I don't know how else to put it. Because you're trapped in this ship with 9 other people, and there's the threat of death, but it's not like you have to hack off your leg in order to escape or anything like that. You just have to solve these puzzles, and you have to... The premise of it is that you open doors using... math.
Using Sudoku.
Yeah, and Sudoku at one point too. So I mean it's the interesting part about it more is the story and the hook to it of the mystery of who did this and why and what's the connection between everyone. And it has like 6 different endings to it too, which is the kind of crazy part when you look at the flow chart. So the real appeal of the game is just learning that as opposed to any of the gameplay mechanics. So that's been fun. That's kind of hooked me.
Have you played through it completely yet?
I've played through one ending, and now I'm going back to play through and get a second one. The nice thing is on subsequent playthroughs, anything that you've already seen before or read before, you can fast forward through, basically.
Oh,
and it
nice.
Makes a huge difference. I mean, I probably put in about 6 hours into that game just based off of reading text or something like that and like having to pause. But fast forwarding, I was like, all right, I'm already up to a part that I was at.
when, you know, an hour and a half into the game in 5 minutes, so it makes a huge difference. Aside from that, picked up Far Cry 3 in the Steam sale and starting to dive into that a little bit.
We'll have to get some bigger co-op action on.
Yeah. I don't know. I was kind of saying a little bit before, and apparently I'm playing it wrong because I'm not playing with a bow and arrow, but...
we're just bugging you. You can play that game however you want.
It's, well, and that's just it. It's like, so far...
Oh, you'll have to play by its rules for this one. This is one of those games you can just...
Well, that's the thing about Far Cry 3. There aren't any rules other than you can't leave the island. Okay.
That's until you can leave the island and go to the other island.
Yeah.
Until you enter in the sequence of correct numbers. Anyways, so Far Cry 3 has been...
Is that your wingsuit impression?
And it's been really pretty. It hasn't quite hooked me yet, and I think that's mainly just because I'm really kind of interested in getting some of the powers, the Tatao powers, and seeing what else I can do to accommodate the way I want to play the game. So it is nice that you're kind of free to do it, but until you get some of the powers, it kind of feels a little bit limited, and you kind of are boxed in a little bit for the first
time. I don't really think so. I never had that problem.
But how'd you play?
Stealth.
Bow and arrow.
Bow and arrow, stealth.
So my way of playing is going through and I mark all the targets. I'm trying to either do a takedown or use combination sniper rifle takedown.
So that's how I played it.
So it works out well up to a certain point, and then you're kind of like, well, now it would be nice if I could do this or if I had this other ability, right? Like, I'm so used to playing Dishonored because that's just what I've come off of. That I had means of escape, I had powers and abilities that let me sort of get out of these situations. So to go from a situation like that to this, all of a sudden, where I'm kind of feeling like, all right, I know I can do something later on, it's a little bit of a stair step. It's a transition between two different games.
Totally.
So it's not to say that it's a bad game, because, you know, I'm definitely enjoying my time with it. It's just taking me a little bit longer to get into it, and I think that is because based off of other games I've been playing.
I'm just saying, I played Dishonored before it too.
Yeah, but you murdered everyone because they were getting married, so your opinion doesn't count. FTL, I've been playing only a little bit of. I want to get into that more because I played through the tutorial mission. I was just like, I'm gonna love this game very, very much, and there's just so many other games I need to play right now. But I'm definitely looking forward to diving into FTL more.
Cool. And Locke, what about you? What have you been playing?
Trying to wrap some ends up in Far Cry. I really get distracted when I see like a relic or letter on my map. And some of the ones that I have left...
I get distracted by boars, so, you know.
Yeah, well, I've done all the hunting stuff now. I've like crafted everything, which is weird because I think they should have switched the way you get... unlock powers and unlock stuff, because instead, like, the way it seems logical to me is when you do, you know, 3, 6, 9 story missions, then you should be, you know, be able to carry more stuff, whereas, you know, if you go and do this extra thing, you should get more powers. Like, it's weird for me to have all these skill points saved up and not be able to spend them, which is, like, yeah. I want to be able to take down a heavy from behind, but I can't do that even though the path is fully upgraded, but I can't do that until I do like 2 more story missions. So that was kind of weird, but I mean, like, really enjoying the game and really just loving exploring it. Again, playing it on 360 is fine. Like, I prefer to play it on PC, mostly for aesthetics. Just that's the only reason I'd be playing it on PC.
Frame rate is really helpful too.
Yeah, and just like draw distance with a game like that's kind of important. So, so I hopped to a couple games that I'd been putting off until I was on holidays. I picked up Sleepy Dogs and been playing through that. And
Sleepy Dogs.
And man, that is
a good game. I really want to go back to it.
It's very tight. Like, all of the missions are meaningful. All of the side quests are meaningful. Nothing is a chore. The most sort of the boring thing about the game when you're driving from point A to point B. You can either skip it by taking a taxi, or you can try and get up your leaderboard score, which is really nice. They have leaderboard stuff for everything, like longest jump, and then cleanest drive, which makes you drive around like a normal human being instead of a sadistic murderer. So, I really like that story, the undercover cop and that sort of thing, and being able to play the two sides is cool. So, really enjoying that. And of course, like, the combat, hands down, is my favorite thing. Like, just that Arkham Asylum combat is so good, and it's so crisp and fun and intuitive. Like, when you see a guy coming to get you and he flashes, like, just the prompts are super helpful, and it's nice. And then I missed Dishonored, so I played through about half of that. Really had some struggle with it at the start, but now that I have all the powers I need, I'm a super magic ninja, so I'm good to go.
Are you stealth or are you going and killing people?
If I go stealth, but if something happens, I don't mind killing a couple fools. Like, I'm just trying to play it as naturally as possible. There was a couple times where I was like, come on, how'd he see me? But again, if I have to kill somebody, you have to kill somebody. It doesn't really matter to me. And then I finished the Black Ops campaign, which was surprisingly well done. Like, I kind of want to do it again because they have a bunch of extra stuff you can do and challenges and that sort of thing. So,
Black Ops 1 or 2?
Sorry, Black Ops 2, the one that came out fairly recently, and played a bit of zombies, and that was good to play. And yeah, just a solid holiday of getting a lot of good time in with these four games. So, cool. Yeah, it was good. Good stuff.
All right. So we'll jump into a couple headlines here, and then we're going to talk about Game of the Year stuff. Atlas announced a new co-op game, like, right in the middle of the holiday, which was kind of odd.
It's like on Christmas or something.
Yeah, it's called God Mode, and it looks like an arena-based shooter for Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network, and PC. It's going to be $10. Kind of looks over-the-top arcade-like. The trailer's kind of silly, in a sense. So we'll see how that is. Atlas always kind of has those quirky games, and they've got some good stuff coming out this year. We just posted some stuff about Xenoclash 2, which they're publishing, and so we'll see how that comes along. It was just an odd time to announce something. I guess I figured that being so dead...
Yeah, nobody's saying anything.
Yeah, so... The Star Trek game got a release date, which is April 23rd, 2013, about two or three weeks before the new Star Trek movie hits theaters.
Nice.
So that's a two-player co-op game, and it's looking solid on the 360, PS3.
The box art is not looking solid, though.
No, the box art...
It's pretty terrible.
It's just Spock on the box art is very unnatural looking.
Yeah, it's weird.
So that got a release date. And then kind of one of the bigger stories that happened has to do with the WarZ game, which was... I think we talked about it last time on the podcast. It had just come out, and it came out of, like, nowhere. And the reviews were kind of, oh my god, this thing's really buggy.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of escalated from there. Basically, people started demanding their money back and... trying to post things to the forums and stuff, and
they're like banning them for that.
Yeah, you know, they're trying to, you know, cut things out or, you know, protect their image and stuff like that. And it just got worse and worse. And the bigger issue was the Steam description of what the game contained. It didn't contain any of that stuff pretty much. It had like the size of the worlds, a number of worlds. Number of players it supported. The big thing was it says up to 100 players, and it was actually capped at 50 players.
Yes, because only 50 players are enjoying themselves in game, but 100 players can be on server.
Yes.
Basically, it was an argument over semantics. Up to 150 players is included in up to 100. And it was funny because the one interview, I think it was GameSpy had with him.
Yeah, that was the big one.
The developer tried to defend himself. He's like, if I said up to 100 players, how many friends do you think you play with? And the response was 99. You know, it's...
But 50 99. Is in 100, so there you go.
But yeah, so basically that whole mess was a PR disaster for them. Eventually, the War Z got pulled from Steam. There was references to it being an alpha. And actually, right before it got pulled, they released an update that was kind of a dick move because the game, basically, you have character slots, and when you die, you would have to wait an hour to respawn.
Yep.
You could use this in-game currency, which you earn by playing, to respawn immediately, or you could pay money, real money, to get this currency, and then you could basically buy a respawn.
It takes huge brass ones to implement something like that.
So, so, you know, after the update, it went from a one-hour respawn to a four-hour respawn time, and then they actually implemented the system to pay for it. So, you know, it had all these people complaining and stuff, and instead of, like, throwing people a bone, they're like, oh yeah? We're gonna dick you over more. And, anyway, like I said, game got pulled from Steam, said it might be back up at a future time. There's actually a big apology released this week from the devs and stuff, and I don't know if I'm ever going to touch the game, especially after seeing some videos and then the screenshots that were posted. I mean, there was artwork ripped directly from
other media.
Things like The Walking Dead and stuff. I mean, the screenshots are obviously Photoshopped. The game looks nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite bit that came out of it was that the copyright that they asked for on the game was actually revoked.
Oh, jeez.
Like they can't legally use the name to sell it.
Yeah. And then they also, their terms of service was stolen from League of Legends. It actually had League of Legends in the terms of service. Still,
yeah.
It was just a disaster. It's obvious that they were trying to cash in on
DayZ.
DayZ and that whole trend. And that's a shame, too, because it could have, maybe, it looked promising.
Yeah, like DayZ.
Apparently, I did some research on the developer. Saw someone post and said that like the last game that these guys did was like this big rigs monster trucks game or something for like Activision value.
Awesome.
That's
your next review
big
game.
Big rigs
block.
Game.
Yeah,
like the one with the infamous GameSpot video review. Big rigs.
I think that's them. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
So, yeah. Anyway, it's enough time devoted to them.
To the War Zed?
Yeah. And so we're going to talk about our Game of the Year 2012, but before that, I decided on New Year's Day to kind of look at our top stories for the year on the site, what was most popular and things like that. And it looked like, you know, we got a lot of Borderlands 2 on there.
And Minecraft.
A lot of Minecraft. Yeah. Minecraft is insanely popular. Mm-hmm. At least these articles are getting hundreds of thousands of views.
That's crazy.
So was it 1, 2, 3? 3 of the top 10 are Minecraft. 2 are Borderlands 2. No, 3 are Borderlands 2.
Yeah, 3
2,
and
so,
3.
So equal.
They split it.
And you got a little bit of Dark Souls in there.
Of course.
For the DLC.
Why wouldn't
you? Halo 4. What else? Assassin's Creed 3, the co-op reveal. And then the infamous Rayman Legends piece from E3 by Mr. Lock Vincent.
I wrote that in my underwear.
Which,
fun fact.
The funnel, 52,000 views on that bad boy. So yeah, another thing that was really popular this year, which we'll continue to do in 2013, is our co-op FAQs. They were actually... If I didn't, I filter them out of our stories stuff. They were actually like 7 of the 10 top stories for the year. Yeah. So they definitely come in handy. I also pulled out our top reviews, what was most viewed and searched for.
Mm-hmm.
Really impressive. Far Cry 3 is our number 3 most viewed review.
That's like a couple weeks old.
Only a couple weeks old. Yeah. So, but Borderlands 2 was the top dog there, without a doubt.
You know what also surprises me, but I'm happy to see?
Sniper
Elite V2.
Yeah, we reviewed 100 games in 2012.
Holy
smokes. Which is pretty impressive. You know, that's like a review every 4 days, you know, less than 4 days.
Does that count the Beyond Co-op stuff or not?
No, it doesn't count Beyond Co-op.
Oh man, so it's actually even more.
Yeah,
That's cool.
So we had a pretty good year, you know, and it was actually somewhat of a down year in terms of
releases and everything. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but we had a lot of reviews and so good stuff.
Thanks to viewers like you.
Yeah, I calculated it and we had over 1 million views of our reviews.
Oh, good.
Year, so
next 2 million.
But let's talk about the good games through the year. Like I said, I went through and I pulled out a list of everything that was released, and we kind of scored above a 4. I figured that would kind of get us a good list to start from. It looked pretty thin in terms of what was there. But we nominated, I guess, things into two categories. We have AAA and indie games. We got rid of console, PC, and... handheld stuff.
Games and slightly smaller games.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, it seemed like a fair way to kind of split things up.
I think so. People with money and people without money.
The 1%, you know, the
99%. We're topical like that, so.
Yeah. So let's go. We'll go through what was nominated and voted on, and then we'll find out what our personal ones were. Let's start with indie, and we kind of narrowed it down to 5 titles, which were Journey, Shoot Many Robots, Torchlight 2, Orcs Must Die 2, and A Virus Named Tom. There was a couple others in there like Awesome Knots. What else we got? Rocket Birds.
Yep.
And I guess maybe Sins, kind of. I mean, I guess, did they have a retail release of that?
Sins? No. That was a big thing that they're like, nope, we're going full digital, just because they... Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Minecraft Xbox 360 edition. Yep. So personally for me, I didn't play too many indie games in co-op. A little bit of Torchlight 2. I played a bunch of Orcs Must Die 2 with Mike. And a little bit of A Virus Named Tom. But I think what they did with Orcs Must Die 2 was my personal favorite. It was the most fun I had in terms of co-op with that kind of stuff.
It was a huge step from the first one. The first one was great. And then to be able to do all of that stuff with a buddy and just like... alleviate all the stress of what a lane was awesome, and just like the two different play styles with the different characters and all the new stuff, the new traps was really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a solid title.
It's one I wished I actually put a little bit more in co-op, because I really enjoyed what I played with Nick, but there were other games I played a lot more of that I really liked, so it kind of fell unnoticed on my end of the year list. But you know, when I really think back about it, you know, both Orcs Must Die 2 and Dungeon Defenders on PC, I played a ton of this year.
Virus Named Tom. So Journey was one of those games I have to say right away that was the experience of it was something so unique that, like, I kind of, in my sort of view for what came out on top for indie games, that came out on top for me, because I still haven't played a game like that. But from like a strict co-op perspective, I had a ton of fun with A Virus Named Tom, and just the degree of insanity that getting 4 people together on that game and playing with them. I mean, I was almost in tears during one session that I had with a couple of friends, because the amount of grief that you can give to other people, and it's so, like, seemingly innocent, just like one guy's trying to get to this other spot, you just kind of bounce him back, and you just sit there, and he's just yelling, and it's not cooperative, it's not in the true spirit of things, but at the end of the day, like, you're there, and then, like, you know, you'll complete the circuit or whatever, and your buddy will, like, dead arm you after the end of it, and so they're like, alright, next level. That it was just so much fun to play that. Like, that's a true sort of couch co-op kind of game to bring a lot of people together and play.
I really, really love Shoot Many Robots. I
How many times did you play with Andrew?
All of the times. I mean, taking Contra and then adding loot to it is like mixing crack and heroin without the serious side effects. Like, really, really, like, awesome controls. And I know a lot of people struggled with the metal slug sort of stopping and aiming, but that's really important when you got to hit everything on screen and you don't always have a spread gun. So,
and they did patch in the twin stick controls.
Yeah, they totally did. Yeah, so you can just swap between your preference. But man, yeah, like the soundtrack to that game and just the different you're all Walter P. Tugnutt, but when you get into each other's game, you are just these entities. Like, one dude's sitting there with a tutu and a Viking helmet. Another guy's got like this backpack of dynamite strapped around him, and just
it's like your Friday night.
Yeah, it's just like a Friday night, and that's why Shoot Many Robots is the best indie co-op game this year. No,
and what about the Co-Optimus backpack in the game?
Yeah, and it's got our loot in there. It's got I forget what the stats does. It's really good though. Like, it's one of the it's one of the better. Items that you can get, and it features Billy and the bots there, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. three of those guys. So, yeah, I really, really, that was my favorite on that list for sure.
I guess Mike? I'll go. I actually didn't enjoy Shoot Many Robots at all. I'm a big fan of that genre, and I could not get into it. So I
just gotta follow
the
rules,
man.
You
gotta play by the rules, Mike.
You gotta play by the rules.
Shit.
Yeah. I don't know. It just didn't grab me. I don't think it's bad. I just played it for a couple hours and said, "All right, I'm done."
Yeah, but you probably like crap like Journey. Like
Journey was not
says
my
the man
number
who like. You could spouse the virtues of Journey all day, couldn't you?
Probably.
The game that I voted for. The game that I voted for my Indie Game of the Year was Torchlight 2. I spent a lot of time playing Torchlight 2, and I'm a huge, huge, huge action RPG fan, and Diablo 3, which actually, I played like 150 hours of Diablo 3 this year. So it's actually kind of surprising to me that I didn't pick it as the action RPG of choice, but Torchlight 2 was just more fun to play. I can't give a bigger compliment than that. They made a game that was way more fun to play and collect loot in than Blizzard.
Yeah,
and it was fun. It was fast paced. The co-op worked great. And just the fact that that came from a tiny ass studio is pretty fantastic, and I recommend it to everybody.
And they just sold a million copies. They just announced, which was so. Congrats to them.
Mm-hmm. And it's currently on
but yeah,
sale.
So the community agreed with you there, Mike. In our community vote, that Torchlight 2 was the indie co-op game of the year.
Because we have a very smart community.
But somehow Journey won. For the staff vote, yet none of us voted for Journey.
I gave Journey my second place vote.
Yeah, I think Journey won everyone's like second place vote here, and it ended up being our winner.
It's so pretty
because everyone had a different number one, and the votes were weighted.
Yeah.
So if everyone gave Journey number two, and no one else gave any of the other games number one, then it's. But I think it deserves it. That game it's not traditional, and it's not you don't say I'm gonna have to go fire up Journey and play with my buddies. It's a game that you can really only play once or twice. But the emotional impact that it has is just insane. I played through that entire game in one sitting, and I would recommend anybody who plays it or hasn't played it yet do that. And, you know, it
can
organically.
You even play it? Does it have a save thing? Is there a save point in the game?
There's checkpoints.
Yeah.
Whenever you activate the shrine, you can come back and start from there.
Okay.
There's other little checkpoints here and there, too.
Yeah. So, when you play Journey, it randomly will... people will randomly be connected to your game, and it's seamless. You never see it happen. Someone just wanders up, and they're there. And, yes, just like Dark Souls. But, so, you're going on this very linear... like, you're basically just pushing forward on the D-pad, and you have to jump and solve a few rudimentary puzzles. But it's very... It's all about just you have this goal and you are relentlessly marching towards it through whatever the game throws at you. And
would you say you're on a journey?
Yes, I would say you're on a journey.
We have game title.
And we do. Actually, if that game had a late title card after you finished it, it would have been the best thing ever. But so anyway,
2 hour title card.
Yeah. So you roll through that game, and you're with someone the entire time, and when you finish the game, you know, you go through all the emotional ups and downs that the journey throws at you, and it does a scroll. It says, "Here are all the people you played with," and in my session, I went start to finish with one person. I had one companion.
Was it
through the entire game?
Was it
and it was
XX,
just
Penis Lord XX?
Yes, exactly.
it was the game was already pretty emotionally affecting. And at that same time, I was like, that is crazy that I went through all that with this other person who, luckily, they didn't have a name like Penis Lord, or it might have soured my opinion. But you know. You know, I played through that entire game with one person. We had this shared experience, and all I did was beep and chirp at them. And you know, in the end, when things start getting really rough, and we were sitting there going back and forth and kind of chirping the little encouragement note back at one another, it was really affecting. And that really is why that game was put near the top of my list. That's why I gave it my number two. I couldn't give it number one because I had more fun playing other co-op games, but I could not let it go unignored.
There was an ever revolving, rotating cast of characters in my playthrough session, but the brilliance of it is that you can't ever tell until the very end of it, because it just...
Yeah.
If one disappears or whatever, one picks up right away. And I remember that you get to a certain part where you get in the underground, and the stone statues start coming alive.
Mm-hmm.
One of them hit my co-op partner, and so he was like kind of like struggling. And I remember just, and I have never felt this in like a Halo game or any other co-op game where I can go revive a partner. I remember actively taking my guy and being like over here, like trying to distract the snake and have him come after me so my buddy would have a chance to get up and run away. And like I was actively engaged in making that happen and wanting that to happen and be like, you know, leave my friend alone.
You know, I mm-hmm. I wish you did that in Monaco. Like,
damn it, Locke.
But no, you
there
had to go pick up
coins.
Those coins.
All right. Well, let's talk about AAA, and we'll talk about what we narrowed our list down to. We got Borderlands 2, Diablo 3, Far Cry 3, Halo 4, Mass Effect 3, Syndicate, and Skylanders Giants. There's a couple other games that came out during the year. Assassin's Creed 3 had a pretty unique co-op mode. I know Dance Central 3 was the finest of the series for a lot of folks.
Dance Central 3 was pretty great.
Yeah, LEGO Lord of the Rings, I know Mark had said it was probably one of the best LEGO titles in a while. Other than that, I'm looking at the other ones on this list. Not a whole lot.
Civ 5.
But yeah. Yeah.
Gods and Kings.
The thing is, like, those kind of games like Civ 5 and Sins of a Solar Empire, like, they're fun experiences in the right setting.
It's like book a day off, guys. We're gonna do this.
Yeah, it they're LAN party material,
totally.
And
you know it would
you know,
be amazing
they are
with
fun,
co-op.
They're not really designed around co-op. Yeah. You know, it's like yeah, you can make it co-op. But...
Connect Star Wars. Uh huh. That's my ship. Uh huh.
Okay.
Where's my mute button?
I don't know. I can't press it hard enough.
But yeah, so I get...
Well, looking at this list, I would say that there's a lot of really solid stuff in there, but my biggest surprise was actually Mass Effect. I was really surprised at how much I liked the co-op that they put in that, because I was totally not... I was totally prepared to shit all over that co-op mode.
I remember I had a serious discussion where we were like, we need to stop playing Mass Effect 3 like multiplayer because we need to play other games. Like, we had invested so much time and some people so much money into it that you had to like pull yourself away just because they did a really good job with it. That was crazy, very surprising.
And yet, in the end, staff pick was Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
That's not a surprise to me.
Yeah, well, it was...
That there's no surprise there.
I had a really, really hard time of picking one of these games, or two of them even, because we kind of did a lead and a runner-up. Not because I thought any of them were really great, but because I really didn't spend a lot of time in co-op with many of them. Mass Effect 3 might actually be the one I spent the most time in co-op with. Mm-hmm. And then Syndicate earlier in the year, I was on the review for that, but I spent quite a bit of time with a couple groups of guys. Diablo 3, I don't know if I actually even ever played co-op.
Did you ever actually finish it?
No. I think it was on like Act 3. Halo 4, you know, I really love it, but the fact that they cut out the firefight mode and replaced it with Spartan Ops, like, made it really difficult for me to this is game of the year material.
I agree, because I would go so far as to say firefight is the best co-op thing that Halo ever had.
I mean,
the campaigns are good, but firefight was just something else.
Yeah, it was chaos, but it was fun chaos, and I missed that. So Skylanders Giants I didn't touch. Far Cry 3 was great too, but again, I only put like a couple of hours in each of these in co-op. Even Borderlands 2, I only played a couple hours in co-op. It was a lot of it by myself. So
Tiny Tina.
Yeah, I mean, I think my picks went. I think I did Mass Effect 3 and Halo 4. As my picks, I kind of tried to go off the curve a bit because I knew Borderlands 2 was going to be picked.
You're so indie, Nick. That's what happens when you develop a game. You're like, oh man, I got to go against the.
Well, that's actually the problem I had this year was that I spent so much time on that game that my co-op time and my multiplayer time, like when I did game, it was by myself on my own time.
Well, yeah, and it's.
I just didn't get to do as much co-op this year.
Yeah, it's tough. It's busy. And, you know, I played countless hours of Diablo 3. And, again, it just didn't grip me the way some of the other co-op games did. It just felt like again, I have the same sentiment as Mike. Is like, Torchlight 2 is just, like, more fun. It's just more fun. That's the only way I can describe it. I don't need to describe like mechanics or systems or anything like that. It just feels more fun, moxie. That's the word you used. It's got more.
That is
moxie.
The word I used in my review.
It's got moxie, so which I totally agree with. So, Borderlands 2, I really love it for what it is, but I'm not a diehard Borderlands fan. Like, I got it on release, everyone played it and finished it, and I got left behind and didn't get to go to the prom with anyone, so I forced people to be like, come babysit me through some of the levels. Again, but like, totally...
Come to my prom, damn it!
Totally competent on your own, but that's definitely a game that you should play co-op, and when you do play co-op, it just shines, so... I didn't get a chance to play Syndicate, which I'm kind of kicking myself for.
It's a game I wish I got to play more of in co-op because it was really good, but it was also really hard.
Yeah, it seems like you needed to have a party who knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like, I mean, Halo 4, I I don't miss Firefight. I actually really like Spartan Ops. It feels like the closest thing to Spec Ops, which I think is a huge thing for, like, I think Spec Ops is awesome in Call of Duty, and not having that sucks, but again,
I think my disappointment with Spec Ops is the fact that you're just constrained to the smaller areas.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like, you... I know we had a lot of expectations, and even just doing those walkthroughs, you're like, oh man, let's see what new maps they are. And it's like, oh, I'm going through this map I played last week backwards. All right, I'm just shooting dudes again. Okay. All right, let's do this. And I mean, like, I like it that it was a change of pace, but I didn't really get into, I didn't get into Firefight all that much, so that's probably why. But yeah, like, Halo 4, man, co-op's so good. And play with Nick if you want a ringer.
Yeah.
But, so, video games.
So that's it, I guess. So. Jason, yeah, I don't think you kind of weighed in on AAA.
I mean, the reason I said, you know, so surprising for Borderlands 2 taking it is, I mean, I think we all had a great time playing Mass Effect 3, and I remember playing a few games with you guys, and us, as Locke said, you just kind of had to pull yourself away from it at some point, because there was so much else to do. But Borderlands 2, I think the reason why it's surprising is because it's not that it's different from the original Borderlands. It's not like they really changed the way that the co-op works. I mean, you hop in a game with your friends and it's there, but I think they just made it a lot smoother than the first one and made it a lot easier to do just that. And I think I played through the entire game the first time around solo because I just really wanted to take in all the Ryan and dialogue. And I enjoyed it, and, you know, I had fun with it. But then I started playing the raid bosses with a group of friends, and that just blew everything else out of the water because there is such... With the most recent DLC that they've been releasing, Captain Scarlet and the other one, there's such a great cooperation with your group of friends that's needed to take those guys down, and especially now that they've put the patch in place and you actually have to use your skills and play the game instead of just, like, overpowering everything with a couple of items. It really just kind of clinched it for me that it's a cooperation that wasn't... I didn't experience any other game this year, like in Diablo 3 or Torchlight or any of those other ones, really.
Hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and so, like we said, both the staff and the community voted Borderlands 2. The community, like, huge.
I didn't weigh in.
I thought you said Mass Effect 3.
No, my vote was actually Borderlands. I was saying that Mass Effect 3 was my surprise.
Ah.
My surprise game on that list, because I really didn't want to... I didn't want to like it. Like, I love Mass Effect, but I did not want multiplayer to try and take over a good single player campaign like that.
Did you double dip on Borderlands?
He did.
I did double dip on Borderlands. So nice. So here's the thing, and the reason why Borderlands got my number one, and it wasn't going to until I played on the PC and had a much better time playing the game altogether. The classes work together so much better in Borderlands 2 than they did in the first game. The first game had abilities that meshed, like you could heal your teammates as a commando and have some kind of passive bonuses and things, but the fact that everyone basically has an entire tree of skills dedicated to co-op is it does a lot for that game and makes it a much, much stronger co-op game in the end. And I felt that improvement over the first is what put it really over for me.
Yeah.
And that's why Borderlands 2 is awesome.
Yeah, not to mention all the gears, like the gear slots where you can put in, you know, a team-specific item versus a solo-specific item, which is pretty cool, too. So,
It's like I'm playing as the Siren right now, and she has all those abilities that give, like, plus to team healing and... Mm-hmm. And reduced cooldowns for everybody and things like... And that's just smart. It gives you more reason to play with another player.
Yep. Yeah, they encourage it, which is great. And, you know, all the coverage we did up until the game's release was they're really focused on that. And anyone we talked to or any news item we posted, it was just like, we are doing this and everything, you know, it was like their thesis statement was co-op with throughout the whole development cycle. So it's nice to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's 2012. And
a year in review.
Yeah. So 2013 is looking very barren right now. Hopefully some stuff gets announced.
I'm sure publishers like releasing video games.
Basically, we know up until like March, we've got some things like Dead Space 3.
Yep.
The new
Colonial Marines, right?
Colonial Marines. I know Anarchy Reigns is coming out this month. Andrew's really looking forward to that. And Locke, apparently, as he fist pumps.
And a Vita version of EDF 2017.
Yeah. But after that kind of after that stuff, we're kind of, I don't know.
Kind of waiting on new consoles, huh?
Here's the interesting thing, right? Is because of that sort of gap, as I was, I'm putting something together for Indiana Co-op tomorrow, there's quite a few indie games within the next 6 months that are going to come out that are pretty co-op focused, that I think are going to be a lot of fun. Monaco being one of them. Retro Booster, Retro Virus. There's Divinity Original Sin that's going to come out later this year that I'm really looking forward to. That's that RPG one.
Yeah.
So,
is that a sequel to Divine Divinity?
Yes, kind of. It's a sequel, but it's a prequel to the remake.
Okay. Well, it's the same. It's the same series, right?
Wow.
Yeah, it's the same series. It's
okay, because that's the only game in that series I played, and that game is almost 10 years old.
Yeah. So, it's really cool so far what they've put together with that, and then I think the most interesting thing is the co-op dialogue trees that you can actually have, which.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that worked really well
in
the Old Republic, I must say.
Yeah.
We do kind of like a preview show every year. You know, we've done like preview videos as well, but with so little out there, we'll just have to devote a little section to it, I guess.
What else do we know about the sacred beat 'em up? Citadel or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we can literally count on two hands here how many co-op games have been announced and are coming out this year, so... I don't know, I guess we'll see. Like Mike said, everyone's kind of in a holding pattern waiting for new consoles to be announced.
Let's just hope Relic can release Company of Heroes.
Yeah, there's...
Oh, it'll come out, don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, it's something like that's not lost, but it just might be delayed until... financial stuff gets straightened out.
Sweet.
But yeah, so that's Co-op the Cast episode 99. Next one's the big 100. We're going to have to figure something out for it.
I don't know what that was. P?
That was a 9. Yeah, big 100. Birthday cake for everyone.
Yeah.
If you have an idea of what we can do, you can leave us a voicemail. 646-926-6748. That would be nice.
Come talk.
It would be nice.
Also, you can always send us an email, tips@cooptimus.com. We get stuff there sometimes.
I'll leave you a tip, all right?
Just the tip.
Just the tip.
Danger zone.
iOS, Windows Phone 7, Android, there's apps on all three stores. You can find them out there. Just search for Cooptimus. There's a few shirts left at Split Reason if you want some t-shirts. And Twitter, follow us. We are at Cooptimus without the dash.
Beauty.
So yeah, that's it.
Your boys.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.